Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Who is still sick.
Yes, I am.
Good job, Brad. So if you hear hard breaks, that's Brad coughing.
Right there.
I'm not even cutting that one out. I'm gonna leave that one in for all of you.
You're welcome.
On today's cast, we're going to cover one of the most infamous, if not iconic, member of the
He's
Thousand Sons.
He's been around forever, though.
Yeah, Aramund. He actually has been around technically longer than Magnus.
Yeah, I mean, Aramund has had a model for every edition of 40K that I played in, and that's up to second.
Wow, I actually didn't realize that. There we go. So yeah, Aramund's been around for a while. So before we get started again, join our Discord. It's really active right now, which we love. It's like maybe 120, 130 of you guys in there right now.
Having some real discussions,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. We'd like to keep you guys up there. We're adding more pages to it. Our Discord's becoming kind of our number one platform for communication and then just community engagement. So we really do appreciate it. Brad and I post into it. So those of you who are in the Discord probably recognize that we're there a lot. But for those of you who aren't in a Discord, please join. It's a fun community and we're really having a lot of fun there. We also, if you don't like our audio, I have a Patreon page to help us fix that audio.
We're trying to fix it. But the best part about this is I was just about to plug where I'll be next week. And this will come out 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, if we're talking about Adepticon, thank you for seeing us at Adepticon is the better way of putting it, Brad.
What? I understand how time works.
But anyway, on to the topic at hand. On today's cast, we're actually going to use Aramund as a way to tell the story of the Thousand Sons. And this is more of a, at least John's opinion. Brad can correct me if I'm wrong here. I just don't like Magnus's story, and I think it's kind of boring and lame.
Aramund is so excited.
Yeah, it's such a better story.
This might be the most excited I've been for. I've been excited for some casts because I like some different legions, but this is the character. Even though Abaddon's the man, Aramund is such a conflicted character in so many things, and his journey into darkness is a legit journey. And a lot of times you go, hey, man, he didn't do, you're like, he got screwed over and we're going to go over this.
Yeah, we're going to go over how Aramund got to be who Aramund is. You feel a little bit of sympathy for him, but he gets to a point in this where you're like,
no, he eventually embraces it.
Yeah,
he,
no, dude, you're a dick.
No, he gets mad, almost mad scientist-y, not Fabius Bile style.
Yeah, he's kind of right in that
He gets that whole, and we'll go down this journey because I really like his arc because he went from a guy that was idealist, basically. Yep. He went from idealist to a guy that got betrayed just time after time.
By everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone.
And then became jaded, and then he started dipping his toe into evil because he was like, well, these guys did this to me. You know, I can do this, or I need this, or justifies the means for this. And we'll go over it. I'm excited. Let's
Yeah, I mean, in all candor, like he's actually more intertwined in what other Thousand Sons are in 40K than Magnus is. Like he's this big of a character. And it's kind of fun to dig into him. So let's just dig in though, and kind of talk about Aramund. So we'll start with just, where'd he come from?
Well, he's got a lot in common with me because we're both from Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, Aramund's ancient. So we talk about this a lot when we discuss both the Chaos Legions, even the Human Legions. There's only a handful of characters who can actually date back to pre-Crusade. Aramund's one of them. He actually comes from pre-Crusade. His family...
Nobility, basically.
Yeah, they're a nobility. Well, I like this term. So it's
how about this? They're nobility enough that they didn't get purged after.
Yeah, there's a funny thing, and as those of you who listen to the cast a lot know, if you're new to this, I tend to crap on some of GW's writing from time to time. But just weird. So they refer to him as coming from nobility. What they mean by nobility is that when the Emperor was waging his war across the Terra with the Thunder Warriors, which is really just a war of genocide when you have Thunder Warriors, pretty early on, the war band that Aramund's from went, yeah, we're calling mercy here. Like, this isn't really worth it. And because they joined early enough, they get to be called nobility in air quotes, because
they didn't get smoked.
Yeah, because they're not all dead. Ahriman's family
seems pretty noble to me.
Yeah, it's a noble thing, but Ahriman's family never had to fight the Thunder Warriors. AKA get slaughtered by the Thunder Warriors.
You ready for us to butcher this for the rest of the cast?
Yeah. So let's dive into the next piece of Ahriman. He has a brother, and Brad
twin
and I.
Twin brother. Thank you.
He's
very
a twin
much.
Brother, and Brad and I were discussing beforehand what we're going to call it. I'm going to spell it for you. O H R M U Z D.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
Ormuzd. 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 All right. Literally, if GW. Actually, here's what. If I were a GW writer, I would do. I would randomly make a character in a random book whose name is just Tim. Not a whole legion, but just have one guy named Tim. Leave everything else. He's like Latin, Greek, Sanskrit, like Sanskrit one-offs, but have a guy and make him important named Tim, just to mess with people. If the Eisenhorn book had been called Eric, I just think it would have been enjoyable. But anyway, Ahriman and Ormuzd. Ormuzd.
We're gonna call him the Big O.
Yeah, Ormuzd. Nah, we're gonna struggle through this. Come on,
done.
We have listeners.
They make their relationship pretty over the top. They are twin brothers, best of friends, and they are both wildly psychic.
So the movie Double Dragon, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the one, right? Jean-Claude Van Damme plays both characters. Yes. Yeah.
You're not
terrible
wrong.
Film,
but the is. Him and his brother are preeminent psychers. You know what I mean? They're rock and roll, and they are inseparable. And the thing is they go over the top, but they don't at the same time, because they're literally twins who have a connection anyways, but they're twin psychic brothers. So they actually do know what the other is thinking. So a lot of times, again, they're freaking magic brothers.
But at the beginning, they actually don't realize they're psychic. That's the fun.
Know things.
Yeah, the fun thing about this process is, and we're going to get into this in a second, is the psychic powers we're talking about here pre-Great Crusade. So dive back real quick, because, again, it's been like 20 casts since we covered this. The Great Crusade. So
the Emperor is taking back over the galaxy. Yep. The galaxy is basically dark. We had a dark age where everything got lost. Warp storms. Thank you, Eldar, for breaking the sky. Yeah. Eldar breaks the sky. Gods created Slaanesh specifically, and they go back to take over the galaxy. The Emperor makes 20 legions of super soldiers that are all stemmed from a Primarch apiece. And
18. Technically 21, but it gets a little bit complicated here.
Technically 18. Thank you very much.
Well, no. So he makes 20 legions, but one of those Primarchs is a twin. So does that make it 21 Primarchs?
This is
where it just gets math. It's a little bit weird. Two of them suddenly are redacted from Imperial history, which does kind of come up a little bit in some of this, some casts we've done here and there. But We'll dive into those a little bit. The Emperor has these Primarchs, and he sits down and says, well, which each of these Primarchs, after they're gone, I could just clone them. But as we covered in a prior cast, like, unless you're past third edition, that went away. Yep. That was what they had for a little bit. They were clones. And then they went, no, that was stupid.
No, the gene seed.
Yes, it became gene seed, where they take males between the age of 13 and 28, fill them with these special organs,
and lots of drugs.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be candid. Does it make zero sense? Yes, but who cares? It's sci-fi. Let's enjoy ourselves.
But he has to hunt down all the rest of those Primarchs. Mm-hmm. So we have 20. Well, we'll just say we have 18, because we don't know who the other two are. We have 18 legions.
We have 20 legions. And so we've got right around 2 million space marines that he sets off with. And that's the goal. And the goal is to reclaim the galaxy.
And he's already broken these into the legions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of them is First Legion, as we've covered.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Awkward. And we didn't meet him for a long time.
Yeah. So what ends up... So, yeah. Ahriman and his brother Ormuzd? Ormuzd? Ormuzd. Anyway, they join the Thousand Sons. And they join the same way anyone else would. They are, you know, they're brought in. Someone somehow shoves extra organs in them, including one that spits acid. still not part of the game.
By the way, they're very psyched to do this.
Oh yeah. However, this is a great thing. No one, this isn't like a, these aren't prisoners. They're experimenting. No,
they're excited. Yeah. We are taking back mankind.
Yeah. And you're going to make me a super soldier to do it. Yes. No, the entire universe is going to bend to my will. I will point out, remember, they don't know about Xenos. Like, they don't know about anything.
They don't know about Xenos.
They're actually expecting to go fight other mankind. And the first thing they're going to bump into is the Admech, which is, we'll skip that.
And the thing is that they're just a regular Legion in the beginning. Mm-hmm. We did Dark Angels. Dark Angels are their own special flower. Yeah. It is not like Dark Angels.
Brad's laughing because our show notes were like the Thousand Suns were similar to the other 18 Legions, not including the First Legion, because they are... Cool boy.
Yeah, they did some stuff.
Yeah, no one does them.
Yeah, that's your uncle that comes to holidays. You're like, what? Yeah,
where is he? Oh, don't come back.
So they get, I mean, they don't get, they get for shit into this.
Yeah.
Literally, the crusade starts. They're in fifth year.
Yeah.
They start doing, and the Legion, I'm talking Legion, not like three dudes doing card tricks. The Legion starts exemplifying, showing psychic powers.
Yeah.
They just are connecting.
And not subtle ones. Like
Well, it's everywhere too. Guys are basically you're getting precogs, you're getting literally dudes lightning people. Mm-hmm. You're getting force lightning, you're getting telekinesis, you're getting guys that can teleport, and nobody knows how the hell to control this shit.
Yeah.
Or what's going on.
Yeah, and two of the most powerful people in it are, of course, because again, it's writing, it's going to be Ahriman and his twin brother. It's not going to be Ahriman and some random dude named Eric.
To their Thousand Sons credit right away, they effectively go, hey, how can we make this craziness benefit us? Mm-hmm. And they just start putting them together in, hey, can all of you guys shoot lightning balls out of your eyeballs? Cool. You're the lightning ball eyeball guys.
Yeah.
You're this. They start making them into the part of the forces of the Thousand Sons, and they start using tactics that involve these psychic powers.
That being said, this great power comes with great consequence. And don't worry, we're not foreshadowing. I'm going to get to the story very shortly.
I mean, it's not even just, it's a terrible.
Yeah.
So this isn't like, hey, man, you've got to pay the piper. This is like, hey, crazy mutations start to rip rampant through the Legion.
I'll be honest, it took me a little bit to research this enough because I was like, what do you mean by mutation? They were all turning into Chaos Spawn. If any of you have seen a Chaos Spawn model, they did that and it varied by speed. Some guys it was quick, some guys it was slow. We're talking about guys
that were having problems with, hey man, I'm losing my teeth. And then you got another guy that's like, hey, I have tentacles now.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And so originally they think it's just some random infection. They actually put people in stasis pods to kind of protect them from this. And it just starts ripping the Legion apart.
And we should go on it. It's the flesh curse.
They call it the flesh curse. But just for those of you trying to envision it, I can make your life easier. Go to GW's website. Look at a Space Marine model, and then look at a Chaos Spawn model and figure out that there's a process to go from point A to point B.
And it's not great.
Yeah, it's
also the flesh curse isn't like a smooth transition. It's hey, this hurts. How much on a scale of 1 to 10? 47?
So what happens is this becomes multi-leveled issue. One, it goes on for years. The other legions are watching this happen too. So it's we talked before about how the Dark Angels keep secrets. Thousand Sons weren't one of those legions.
They were telling everyone.
Yeah. Hey, anyone know how to make this stuff?
Yeah, they were. Here's the problem. Thousand Sons thought, oh, my brothers will help me. They did not.
They did not. The other legions' actual first reaction was burn them, kill all of them. Yeah, all of them. Obviously, there's something wrong.
And then the step down from that was, oh, just only kill the psychers. And you're like, we're all psychers. Yeah.
It did not get received well, and this is a foreshadow to more problems later that they end up having because of the psychers. So they didn't know what was happening. Even the Thousand Sons don't know what's happening, and its mutation gets worse over time. The biggest piece of this whole mutation, the reason we're talking about it is a lot of layers, but the biggest one is Ahriman's brother, Amruzud, or whatever his name is, because I don't want to say it anymore
But he falls victim to the flesh curse in the worst possible way, because his brother slowly succumbs to this.
And Ahriman and his brother are mentally connected. So Ahriman not only feels his brother's pain, but feels his brother's fear. And this becomes Ahriman's, one of his main purposes in life.
Overriding. It's like his life kind of.
He is both terrified of the flesh curse from here. And I'm just saving ourselves a couple hours here. Whenever we talk about Ahriman throughout the next few, this cast, understand he's afraid of the flesh curse happening to him.
Like wildly afraid.
Yeah. And he needs it to go away.
For him, it happened to him basically because again, of the connection with his brother, he knows this effectively did happen to him. So now he's like, this is not going down again. I will figure. And this is one of the things that goes overriding through his entirety of Ahriman's history is he gets pretty single focused on this is not happening. I'm going to figure out a way for this not to happen. And will I do some shit that's not great to make this not happen? Yep.
Now, I had to look it up. So my numbers are right here, probably.
Who knows? Probably.
Who cares? It's all made up. But still, the flesh curse basically ravages them for about 37 years. And it goes until 840 M30, where they actually finally meet Magnus. The emperor gets to Prospero. We'll talk about Prospero in a minute. But gets to Prospero, and they all teleport down and meet Magnus. They find a little reunion. Magnus and the emperor do their thing, and the emperor pieces out, and he leaves as usual.
By the way, again, bad English dad who for sure could have stopped this.
Oh yeah, well, and that's what happens. We discover he was stopping it because the second the emperor leaves, the mutations become more prevalent,
like crazy,
and way faster. And it's just so yeah, guys. This is a Tzeentch curse. Like, then we're gonna get into what happened in a second, but it's a Tzeentch curse. By the Legion being around the emperor, he was keeping it away.
He wasn't even trying to.
Yeah,
it just
happened by being around him. The Chaos Gods couldn't reach into the Thousand Suns as well as they could. But the second he's gone, there's just Magnus left. And so now the curse is going rampant. And then suddenly the curse stops.
My favorite part about the notes, I always have to give you guys the highlights for the notes, because John's note is, this is a lore cast, not a book, so we can jump right into the spoilers.
Yeah, you know, in the books, like, what could have happened? Magnus. So it turns out Magnus had been communicating with Tzeentch for years.
For, like, the whole time.
Yeah, Magnus grew up on Prospero. Prospero was all Psykers. He was raised by Psykers.
You know what? People can argue with me on this one, because it's not full canon on this, and I had this argument before. I think that Tzeentch was talking to Magnus from day one.
I actually would agree with you. I think he guided Magnus
his entire life.
Yeah, I think Magnus, Tzeentch was talking to Magnus before he landed on Prospero. It's that level.
I think because it's insidious. It's not like Tzeentch had to throw up giant signs. I think he was guiding him every second of every day.
Yeah, because Magnus was not only trained by Psykers, but he had reached knowledge in the warp no one had. I mean, he's at birth top three Psyker in the galaxy. So you have the Emperor, Eldrad, and him. Maybe. In that order.
And then you could put Malkador and people in wherever.
Yeah, maybe Malkador, but I think Malkador is behind Eldrad.
In power, for sure.
Yeah,
in power. But Eldrad doesn't come in for like a while because
he's been there. If you're talking in the existence of the galaxy, Emperor is number one. I think Eldrad's probably number two. And then you go Magnus, Malkador, one of whom didn't burn up on the Golden Throne. So just throwing that one out there.
Yeah. and the thing is that Magnus has been getting guidance. He's been getting guidance like Wheel of Time guidance, though, from the dragon.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly true. And the issue, so Magnus has been getting information from Tzeentch. But the thing about Tzeentch is that everything with Tzeentch has a catch. And it's always a deal. And so Tzeentch doesn't grant knowledge for free. So my opinion is the flesh curse is probably something that was given because if you look at the timing of the flesh curse around and kind of like the time it took Magnus to grow up, I think the flesh curse lines up pretty closely with Magnus arriving in Prospero.
Yeah. They basically throw the flesh curse down. Mm-hmm. He's been manipulating Magnus the entire time.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, man, do you want to keep having your sons be tentacle monsters or not?
Exactly. And that's what happens. So Magnus reaches back into the warp to figure out how to solve it. And he comes back. He re-emerges in front of his legion, missing an eye.
He did the whole Odin thing.
Yeah, missing an eye. They're not great writers.
I mean, this is literally what happened to Odin.
Here's hoping no one at GW is going to Adepticon listen to our podcast. I'm going to have an awkward conversation with someone. Like, have you just been shitting on my writing the whole time? Yeah, but in my defense, it's not good.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
So anyway, so Magnus reappears in front of his legion. He's missing an eye, and he declares the Legion the
pretty
flesh
triumphantly. Curse. He doesn't just say he found a cure. He basically says,
"Oh, he spikes the football."
Yeah, he's like, "I cured the flesh curse.
Yes, I'm the best ever. All of you aren't as good as me. Look at what I did." So,
also says it will never return. That's going
to
come.
Yeah,
back.
And to never return. Don't worry about it, guys. I got you. I'm this good at it. It really does. There's a lot of witch doctor stuff here of like someone like, you know, like pre-tsunami. We're like, look, I made the ocean go away. Oh, shit. Anyway.
Back to Ahriman.
So back to Ahriman now. Ahriman's going to rise within Legion because
he's wildly talented. He's also pretty focused and driven, too.
Yeah. And so he ends up becoming a chief librarian, which in the Thousand Sons is a captain, effectively. Yeah. And his great thing is precog. So he can see the future. This group and his group of guys, what they would do, and it's a pretty cool trick, actually. They could predict enemy movements and enemy actions. So it's easy to kind of just set yourself up. So live, they're just always setting traps.
Like, yes, like so much too.
Unfortunately, he also was spending some time, because this is the early part of the Crusade. Yeah, where the legions tended to share, for lack of a better phrase. And as part of this sharing, he spent some time with the Word Bearers.
Which means he spent some time with Erebus.
Yeah.
The douche of the galaxy.
Yeah, and they actually became buddies. Although, interesting note here, Ahriman's kind of got a thing for science. He's got a thing for
that's what I said. I was saying before, he's not fabulously biling it up, but
yeah,
he's pretty disconnected with what's actually going down. Like, he does this precog thing because he's great at it.
Right.
But he's more got a bunch of side projects that he's basically on his fourth PhD in psychics.
Exactly. So he's like as they're conquering worlds, he's just reading any text he can find, anything he can find about how the universe functions. He's big into it. And it is funny that, of course, one of the guys is like the preeminent magic user of the entire galaxy is super into, you know, science. Anyway, it's just a thing. But one issue that he has watching the Word Bearers is they've got an insane worship of the Emperor. And his problem is not that they're worshiping the Emperor. His more point is like, well, what proof do you have the Emperor is a god?
Yep. And also, I have more proof that there's other powers out there. Mm-hmm. And I want to find out about them. Also, he's pretty big on, yeah, man, zero things are forbidden. Also, you got Erebus egging him on when he's like, I'd like to find out some forbidden lore. And Erebus is like,
should do all of that lore.
All of 100%.
Yeah. How can I help you? So what, at the same time, Ahriman's got another problem. And the problem he's got is he's noticing the other legions have an issue with their psychic powers. So this becomes a new focus for his. He thinks somehow that he can convince their legions that psychers are good.
This is literally, he's done a bunch of bad things. We'll get into one of the big spells that was a boo-boo later. This literally, for me, was his dumbest idea.
Yeah.
Because he just goes on a PR campaign in the lunchroom about how great psychics are. And here's the great things psychics can do. You're like, dude, you're not that far removed from everybody having tentacles coming out of their eyes.
Well, and that's not, he takes his to a level. It's not just him standing on a soapbox at lunch declaring something. He actually brings in people to, you know, videographers and whatever that would pass for in the, it's like the millennia.
He wants to make sure that he documents all the good that psychics
Everything that psychics do, he brings in people to document it. So it's getting recorded for Imperial history. They're shooting lightning bolts out of their fingers. They're melting people's brains. They're seeing the future. Some reason, a certain Lehman Russ didn't think this was cool.
He's a not super pro psyker.
Yeah, we're going to get there in a bit. Another thing, too, is that Ahriman was an oddly independent thinker for a space marine. If you think, like space marines are meant to be followers.
100%. And he weirdly also has, he's willing to argue with Magnus at a drop of a hat.
Yeah. And the Emperor. I mean, that's, he doesn't directly get a chance.
Yeah,
he doesn't really ever directly interact with the Emperor negatively, but he makes comments about the Emperor negatively.
Because he also wants to know why we're doing stuff.
Right.
And the thing is, he does make good points because he just goes, hey man, why are we doing this?
Oh yeah, he's actually, this is where him and Abaddon fall pretty similar in my mind. You read their story up to, and we're going to get to the point where it's going to change, but to a certain point, you're like, yeah, he's right. You read it, you're like, yeah, Ahriman's got a good point. He's right. Why would they be doing this? This is stupid. We're just killing off. We're conquering planets and slaughtering people. For what reason?
He's also pretty popular. Mm-hmm. Kind of. He's a dude's dude. He's one of the bros.
Yep.
But they also kind of hate him because he's literally constantly getting in trouble. So, like, if you buddy up with Ahriman, he is right. He does have your best interest at heart. But also, dude, man, we constantly are getting shit on because you never shut your mouth.
Yeah, we're going to get the Argue campaign the second where he gets in some real shit. But that's what he does. Ahriman, he has these ideas, and Brad's dead right. His ideas are correct. And the people around him who are his buddies say, yeah, that's right, let's go do it. And then he gets them into a lot of shit because being correct doesn't always matter if when you're in this authoritarian regime of the Emperor. So as we were just touching on, though, this issue of psychers within the Imperium is starting to get a lot worse. The further the Crusade pushes, the more the Space Marine Legions are fighting people with psychic powers. Because remember, they're not fighting warp entities yet. Those haven't popped out. But they're fighting like the Ragdan are kind of a psychic force, not quite.
Well, they are, because they just use it. But they use it more to
manipulate, yeah.
They buff themselves up.
Yeah, but they're also fighting people who literally are psychers. They're firing like all the same weapons the Thousand Sons are using. Some of the hardest battles,
and they have actually fought. They don't know this, but they fought chaos infused.
Exactly, people. They don't know it. But if you read the books, they're talking about a lot is that, you know, it's space wolves, one of the biggest ones here, are getting pissed because they're going and engaging in a battle. They're losing a large number of soldiers to the exact same weapons and tactics that the Thousand Sons use.
They're not super excited about it.
Yeah, and they're starting to have that moment of like, hey, the example I would use is like chemical weapons in our world of like, this is a weapon of evil. So why are we using it?
And the thing is that the Thousand Sons aren't wrong, but the other legions aren't wrong either.
Right.
Because warp use attracts other warp use. Mm-hmm. It just does. So like, while they're not inherently doing anything wrong.
Imagine if someone told them that, or someone who knew all of those features sat there from the beginning and just said to them, hey, by the way, don't use psychic powers because it's going to empower these entities and blah, blah, blah.
Or maybe fortify yourself against corruption. Yeah.
But no. Anyway.
I mean, they did figure it out, you know, and made the Green Knights later on, but I mean, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. that's later. That's literally day post. That's like, what, heresy day four, they made the Green Knights? You know. So the issue is that Ahriman at this point, again, is watching this happen. He's seeing all the legions turn against the Thousand Sons and decides, well, I'm just going to educate them on how great psychic powers are. So he, the idea he had before is a double down.
He's not wrong because he's saying the best way to combat psychic powers is to have one psychic defense. And I can, and because he's a prodigy, he's like, well, I'll just wreck that guy that's coming at me.
Right. Exactly.
Duh.
This is simple. So that takes us to kind of a bit of a turning point in the Ahriman story. This is one of the first times that he gets really kind of wrecked over. We're going to go with Aghuru. I don't understand GW when they write a name down. It's either all vowels or no vowels. There's never like a nice little in between. A-G-H-O-R-U. Just a lot of vowels. Aghuru? It's fun because at least they're writing in England, so I know they do this. I can make fun of it. I don't have that weird moment of like, am I just being racist? It's like, no, we're good. This is some guy in England, you know, named Ted Wellington who wrote this.
Ted Wellington.
Actually, Theodore.
My bad. The third.
We know it's Theodore. Sorry, GW. Anyway, Aghuru is a planet full of humans.
But it's not.
Right. Well, let's say current occupants.
Yeah, I was just about to say. The mail came and it said, ancient Eldar world or current occupant is what the mail said. Yeah.
And the cool thing is the Thousand Sons get there and not a drop of blood is shed. They reach out to the local community and the local community is like, yeah, we'll totally join the Emperor of Mankind. Why not? Who cares? I can do the thing. And so everyone's super happy, except there's a little problem there. This planet was one of the major former Eldar settlements.
It also has, the planet is literally a psychic capacitor, basically.
Yeah.
It is generated to amplify psychic energy so that you can use it. Because again, Eldar technology was based on making things happen by your mind.
From the warp. And all the Thousand Suns can sense there's something up. But Magnus actually knows something serious. This is a real place.
Magnus is a dick, by the way.
Yeah, Magnus learned a lot from the Emperor without ever learning from him. In the sense, like,
should I tell my sons this, or should I do a real sketchy? I'll be back, guys. Don't follow me. Which is exactly what he does.
Well, because what happens, Magnus starts grilling the local populace, and they start telling the mythology of like, oh yeah, before we were
they
here.
They literally tell the fall. They tell the story of the fall.
Yeah. There was people here before us. There were people, and they fell to corruption and hedonism. And then after that, like, they all died. And Magnus went, well, that's interesting. And there's a giant mountain. And again, I don't know if GW, I'm just talking too much to GW today. But anyway, there's one mountain on the entire planet because apparently they're flat earthers.
I don't think there was one. I think that there was one Eldar constructed. I actually think that this was a Eldar constructed mountain.
Yeah, so it's kind of like those of us who live actually in the U.S. In the U.S., when the landfill gets really, really is all the way done, they cover it with grass, and see, it looks like a giant hill, but it's actually a hill made of garbage. This is the same thing, but it's not full of garbage.
Full of psychic.
Yeah, it's full of psychic powers,
and also like kind of a lot of knowledge they had. This is like the Mass Effect dump when you do the first one, when you just show up and they're like, here's everything we know forever.
Mm-hmm. And so this giant mountain, Magnus just keeps effectively kind of staring over his shoulder at it and then just tells everybody, hey, I'll be back.
Yeah.
And wanders off to go to the, because he knows there's something in the mountain. He's just not sure what it is yet. And he goes over to figure out, to learn this. It turns out it's the Webway. There's actually a giant Webway gate that's there.
Well, it's Jack, though.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Slaanesh got there a little bit before, and they shut it down. So he's in there just tinkering with this Webway. Ahriman, unfortunately, as we said before, doesn't really like upper management. And so when upper management says, I'm taking a break, you guys keep doing all the work, he goes,
yeah, not a chance.
Yeah, not a chance. And convinces
he went up with his camera equipment
what the hell's going on, and goes up there because he can to defend Ahriman here too. He's not being a prick. The thing is, Ahriman can sense there's power, but he can also sense the power is
he senses the corruption, and he doesn't even understand corruption at this point.
But
he doesn't understand real corruption at this point.
Yeah, he knows there's something wrong with where Magnus
wrong. Yeah.
And Magnus, of course, obviously knows exactly what the corruption is. Then went, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to look at it. So Ahriman thinks Magnus is in danger.
Correct. Also, this, in a little click on it.
Yeah.
This is when Ahriman starts to learn about the Webway, and he becomes pretty goddamn obsessed. He's got two or three full obsessions. The learning the Webway gate. Also, yeah. Harlequin players, you get to harass Ahriman for the next 11,000 years because...
Yeah, that's super. That,
he gets Coyote, Roadrunner to Coyote, pretty hardcore.
He does. Those stories are kind of... That's Cast Part 2, don't worry, guys. We're going to get there. Not in this one, but Cast Part 2, I promise. We're getting there. So he betrays Magnus's wishes and comes rocking up into the mountain. Magnus senses their presence and comes blasting out because he, like his dad, the Emperor, is trying to keep all this crap a secret. I mean, I guess we can take a little side note here. Magnus has been talking to the Chaos Gods. And Matt, or primarily Tzeentch.
He's been led by a carrot by Tzeentch.
In my opinion, I think he's been speaking to Tzeentch. And the thing is, he knows he's not supposed to be speaking to Tzeentch. And Magnus is aware the Emperor somehow does know he's been speaking to
Tzeentch. Magnus, to Magnus's credit, Magnus thinks the whole time, wildly incorrectly, that he's one-upping Tzeentch every single time.
That's like missing an eye.
Yeah, you're like, hey, man, you know your record versus him is 0-400,001.
Yeah.
Like, and we just pretended that you got a draw once.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. So Magnus comes blasting out of the mountain saying, yelling, he doesn't say a word to them. He just scowls at them and walks away. But he's effectively psychic saying, nothing to see in there. Follow me. I'm going back to base and screw you guys for interrupting. Anyone who has a child in his teenage years knows, this is why you knock before you enter the room. That was a look that Magnus was giving him. Later, though, for those of you who want to read a good book, one of the cool scenes does happen here where one of the Thousand Sons basically leans on the mountain the wrong way and wakes up a bunch of Eldar Titans. So the world, remember, this world was taken without a drop of bloodshed, and then a bunch of Eldar Titans, so not Wraith Knights, Titans. These are much larger.
Yeah, they were a bunch of Phantom
Titans. Yeah, Phantom Titans made out of Wraithbone wake up and begin attacking.
They don't attack. They start slaughtering.
That's true. Slaughtering. Thousand Sons have to call for support. And of course, one of the local ones is Space Wolves.
If they're super excited to have the Space Wolves save them again.
And so the Space Wolves come in. It's a really good story in the book. I'm not going to get it as a play-by-play, but the battle was actually pretty badass. As a result, though, Magnus, once this is all over, does address his Legion. And he
drops wild knowledge bombs on him out of nowhere, by the way.
Yeah, this is huge because two things come out of this battle. First is like Ahriman effectively tells them that there's a great ocean. That's what he refers to it as. That's the warp. And there's evil and corrupt entities in it. So Magnus has now told his entire Legion the piece of information that no other, even Lorgar doesn't know this, to be fair. And the Emperor desperately doesn't want anyone to know this. So big F up there. Ahriman takes this information in two ways. One, likes information, he's Ahriman, but also immediately goes, how long have you known this? Like, why am I just hearing about it now when it's in front of
me? It's also the way he presents it, which is effectively, this is an endless sea of power that you can do anything that you could possibly want with it. And he's kind of like, hey man, we could have probably saved some people, instead of just
brought this up earlier.
Right, yeah.
So at the same time, after the Space Wolves help them defeat these Eldar Titans, again, read the book. It's a really cool battle, and Eldar Titans are horrifyingly powerful because they're quick, really quick, actually, which is what makes them scary. He then makes friends with a guy named Wormdrake, and Wormdrake is a wolf priest, which is effectively a psyker within the Space Wolves.
He's a rune priest, not a wolf priest.
Sorry. Anyway. You guys can't see me roll my eyes. But we're going to do an entire episode on the amount of retconning that happened to the Space Wolves. And to your credit, Space Wolf players, I'm on your side. It was way cooler in the early editions.
Teleport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but not invisible wolves. So in his endless campaign to bring everyone around to psychics, Ahriman thinks Wormdrake is his buddy and gives Wormdrake
foreshadowing. He's not.
He's not.
And also, he's showing him so much, he's just showing him all of these felonies he's basically committed.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's coming in saying, oh, yeah, you guys think we can cast lightning. That's cool. I can actually read your mind and know what you're doing.
I can literally dominate the minds of populace.
Yes. Yeah, I could control swaths of people. Like, isn't that amazing? You guys should be totally on board with this. Spoiler alert.
He was not.
Yeah. spoiler alert. So move on further from Argos. They're on the next chunk, which is this place called Heliosa, which is another world that's not in compliance. And again, Space Wolves and the Thousand Suns are fighting together. Actually, I think the Dark Angels were here too, if I'm not mistaken, but I might be mixing something up here. But they're engaging in this campaign. And the long story short in Heliosa is Heliosa was a system that had a few different like kings in it. They refused the Emperor's demands.
They're pretty high tech here too.
Yeah, they're pretty high tech. They fought back really hard and it became, and because Lehman Russ was the first one there, he's the one who said, all right, we're wiping him off the map. But he called in the, so Lehman is the one who called for the support of the Thousand Suns. So you've got, in the final battle, you've got Space Wolves and Thousand Suns fighting together. This includes Lehman Russ and Magnus are both on planet fighting not that far from each other. If you think, wow, it's a lot of detail, John, why'd you give it to me? I think we all know what's happening next.
Also, well, Ted starts acting funny.
Yeah. As they're going through this, the, you know, Thousand Suns are firing or yelling lightning bolt and shooting it out of their hands. One random Thousand Sun sorcerer he's just exhausted and suddenly explodes into a chaos.
Now, this is a big deal because there are several things.
Yeah.
One, this drives me crazy because if you've played any sci-fi fantasy game, you know that when you're drawing upon the forces of darkness and the power, if you played Dragon Age,
yeah,
any of those things, you know that the more tired you get, the harder it is to resist corruption. Also, if you're not told there's any goddamn corruption, yeah, you're not ready for corruption.
You can't do whatever. And yeah, so he's just going nuts.
Well, he's basically, his defenses go down, mm-hmm, demon possesses him, poof, spawn.
Yeah. Magnus sees this and goes over to watches this happen. And again, Magnus knows the truth. He knows that he didn't get rid of the flesh curse. He just made a deal with Tzeentch to get rid of the flesh curse. And Tzeentch now is fucking with him in front of everybody.
Well, yeah, because there's also 47 clauses in the contract.
Of course.
You're like, did you have your lawyer look over it? Like, the Tzeentch guy said it was a good read.
Exactly. And so Tzeentch now has gone in, he flipped this guy over. Magnus sees this and he goes over it.
Basically, and this is specific. He's doing this to put him at odds with Lehman Russ.
With Lehman Russ. Magnus goes over to hug him. And I think, in my opinion, I think Magnus was going to use his psychic powers to turn him back. As he reaches in to hug him, the chaos spawn explodes. Because
Lehman ain't down with that. Yeah. See?
Lehman Russ saw a problem and Lehman Russ solved the problem with a bolt gun and blew the thing apart.
To Lehman's credit, problem was solved.
So for those of you who play Warhammer competitively, yes, apparently you can kill a demon spawn with a bolt gun.
Just got to shoot it harder.
You have to shoot harder and under current rules, cheat. This, you know, so Lehman just killed a demon. Magnus thinks he just killed one of his kids. Let's just say these two are not, or this is it. They are going to kill each other now in front of everybody.
And also, Lehman's been having some issues for a while because he's been against this from day one.
Yeah.
Lehman occasionally is derp, but I have to give him the props on the fact that once Lehman decides something, well, he doesn't really back down.
Yeah, it doesn't change his mind very well. Luckily, oh, that's right. Yeah. I was wrong. It wasn't the Dark Angels there. It was, of course, the Wordbearers were there. Because Lorgar is here.
Yay! Yeah.
And Lorgar decided to get in between the two of them and convince them not to fight each other.
They leave in a very, very cool situation, though. I mean, a little bit of animosity in the fact that Lehman says, I will kill you the next time
Lehman says, your day of reckoning is coming. And he says it to Magnus, looking him dead in the eyes, and then walks off to go slaughter the planet.
Yeah, he's like, just in case you were wondering.
Yeah, points at his eyes, points at Magnus's eyes, and that scene from Bloodsport where he then slits the throat. you know, that now, that's what we're, that's
the
what
more
we're,
important thing is we're talking about Ahriman.
Yeah. Ahriman, though, loses his shit when he sees this happen.
Ahriman's off to the side because, hey, man, remember when the flesh curse wasn't cured at all? Because a dude just literally popped into a spawn. Also, remember, he just recently actually found out that demonic entities exist. Mm-hmm. And Ahriman is a genius among the Space Marines in the first place. He kind of gets two and two together and goes, hey, man, did he just get possessed? Is that what happened? Yep. Yes, that's 1,000% what happened.
This was all a lie. And he is furious with Magnus because he knows now. Before he believed Magnus was lying to him, keeping stuff from him, and now he knows.
Right,
Magnus
he is just right there. And again, I know I'm harping on it a lot, but his brother died of this. He's been lied about it twice and been kept in the dark. Oh, yeah. All of this shit could have been stopped if you would have just told us. We could have helped it. We could have, the entire time, the Legion could have been strengthening their inner fortress, their psychic powers, their ability to deal with chaos. If you would have let us know, I don't know that there's a potential for me to get, pull a hammy and die immediately from it.
Yeah. This leads us to the next piece of the Ahriman falling from happy place, the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah, yeah, things did not go well for
Snyder. I'm going Nicaea. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
So partially because of what had just happened, also a lot of other stuff, it finally came to a head. And the Space Marine Legions, who are not Psykers.
This is a pretty...
Most of
this is a celebrity gathering.
Yeah, they decide to have a special meeting. The Emperor shows up. Malkador shows up. There's at least five or six Primarchs who are there. Obviously, Magnus, Ahriman are in attendance.
Mortarion.
Yeah, Morty's very
also
much so there.
Mortarion, who's also got his Doc Holliday. I guess my hypocrisy has no bounds.
Well, to Mortarion's credit, while he was a Psyker, he wasn't using it at this stage.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't aware he was using it. I like Mortarion. So anyway, it's one of my better models. He actually looks better than
Mortarion. Literally puts down a filibuster of, this is all evil, period.
So the purpose of the meeting was to determine what to do about Psykers within their own legions. And they all speak. The first one is, of course, Mortarion just going hog wild on Psykers cause the Long Night. They keep destroying planets. Demons are bad. Like, it's all the things. Mortarion, honestly, to be fair, when you read the book, Mortarion's points are all correct. He's not wrong. Yeah, he's completely right.
He's just a huge hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly. That's the irony. And man, it becomes a weird irony when you become the demon prince. But Morty's entire point is well received, that every time they encounter large groups of Psykers, it's bad.
It's always bad.
The example, of course, being astropaths and navigators, but that's a side note.
Yeah. I still got to travel. Yeah,
it's always bad. However, the big problem was Wormdrake, the guy that Ahriman was.
He literally made a college film about everything that Ahriman showed him and turns it into his USC film school project and just shows it to everyone.
And Ahriman at this moment sees Wormdrake walking up to speak and he's excited. Like, great, this guy's going to defend us. And instead.
Well, he's also thinks he's like one of his good friends and he's made all these, to him, great points of psychics are useful. Psychics can defend the populace. Yeah. We can defend ourselves from psychics with psychics. Yeah. He's almost like one of the guys, he wants to show, you have to let us know what's going on. That way, We can fortify ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can defend the Imperium against other Psykers and ourselves by knowledge. So he thinks he's going to show up and go, you know, Ahriman made this 47-point plan and gave me all these videos. And
I couldn't agree with him more. He's fantastic. Like, we should just, instead, he called them deceivers. He called them warlocks. He said that they were a danger to humanity. And
he effectively called them not humans.
Yeah. And he just goes, and Ahriman is just, at this stage, more sad than anything else watching this happen.
I'd say that he's got some inner burning that's going to show up later.
Vengeance is coming. So at the end of the meeting, if you understand what this meeting is, it's really a bunch of people bitching to the emperor. And then Magnus, of course, gets up and explains, it makes his point. I don't care. Just don't. They make their point. But even the librarians, the legions get up and say, look, these are all things we did that was good. But at the end of it, the emperor gets up and says, yeah.
Oversimplifies it as usual.
Yeah, we're done. The legions are going to disband their librarians. And Primarchs with psychic powers are never to use them again. Now, two things on this. One, anyone who's covered, who listened to our cast, The Horus Heresy, or read The Horus Heresy, you realize they don't do this.
At all.
Including the Loyalists. I mean, there's a whole section in the Siege of Terra where the White Scars use their quote-unquote, they just renamed them. That's all they did. They kept all the same librarians and gave them a new name. I forget what the hell they called them, like Stormcasters or something, whatever.
Same thing the Rune Priest did.
Yeah, exactly. They're
harnessing the elements.
Yes, everyone does this, but anyway, he does ban them. And primarily attacking the Primarch's ability to use psychic powers was at this stage mostly a swing on Magnus, because I think he's okay with Sanguinius flying.
Well, it's not even just flying. He's also a precog.
That's true. He's also a precog. So these rules are more.
He literally just said, Magnus, stop doing stuff.
Yeah. It's just, they became guidelines.
It was the pirate code.
It was the pirate code. These are guidelines. So Magnus then pulls his whole legion together after this. They all leave. He pulls the legion together.
And this is, again, I got to get my cheat again, John. Magnus thinks he's giving his son's truths, but all he keeps doing is going, hey, man, remember the last time we had a heart-to-heart? I just want you to know that I know I was lying the whole time before then. And then since then, I've also been lying wildly to you.
Nonstop.
Like,
but here's some potential truth. And so he explains to his legion about warp. He knows about the chaos entities. And he tells them that there's no way on Earth a thousand suns are going to stop using psychic powers. But we're going to have to keep it a secret. More importantly, he decides that they need to take all of their knowledge needs to be preserved. Because what Magnus did realize is that at some point, someone's going to come knocking on their door saying, burn all this heretic crap you got. So Magnus instructs all of them to put together all of their known information into the Book of Magnus. Because sometimes GW can just name it easily.
They effectively make a bunch of tomes of magic, though.
Yeah.
They have individual tomes. These all become a compilation, basically, of short magic stories. But all of these, and we'll get into cabals in them soon.
You can also tell what year a story was written, because at some point we go from tome to iPads. Just like all of it. It does happen. If you read through GW, like the books, as we get into like stuff that was written post 2010, all of them tablets come into play. I've noticed this. Anyway. So this pushes Ahriman effectively over the edge.
Why? Like he doesn't go over the edge. Yeah,
this is the fault. This is
this is
his Abaddon moment.
Yeah, he gets his suit. He gets his fly suit and he jumps off the cliff.
Yeah, he is, his best friend betrayed him. The emperor has betrayed him. His Primarch has been lying to him nonstop. Effectively, he realized the entirety of the Imperium of Mankind is against him, but more really his legion. Because as much as we talk, we're going to use the word Ahriman a lot, is him. He does love his legion.
They're also really getting singled out. They're getting censured left and right here.
I mean, so did the word bearers, but they were weird.
I mean, they also deserved it, but whatever. Sorry, but they did.
So Ahriman comes to this realization, as Brad was just saying, that Magnus is still not giving me the full truth. He's known about this crap the whole time. He also realizes that Magnus is speaking with these chaos gods. It's too obvious. And that Magnus never cured the flesh curse, but made a deal with these gods to do something. Ahriman effectively just figures all of it out. But he also keys in that the emperor is just as bad.
This is a huge deal.
Yeah, exactly. The emperor has turned his back on him. They fought for him. They died for him. And now he just turned his back on them for doing the thing that he made them to do. And he's
just telling them, like, I don't care. And you're like, if you knew about this the whole time. And again, he goes back to, hey, man, could you have just saved my brother?
Yeah.
Like, and the answer was, yeah, probably I would have taken 8 minutes out of my day.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, I could have easily just removed that whole curse from him and made it not an issue. Why did you do it?
Man. I had other shit that I was doing.
The other one, too, is he reaches this element of it's us or them with his legion. In that he views the Thousand Sons as an independent entity, and the other 19 legions, although at this point it's 17, because now the other two have been redacted, have no, we cannot trust them, and we should be ready to fight them at any time. This is pre-heresy, by the way. Not very pre-heresy, but it's pre-heresy. Because now we'll dive into the heresy element. How do we tell this stupid story of Magnus and trying to save Horus, but we're doing it.
So this is where you still get them. Magnus did nothing wrong, even though he did tons of stuff wrong.
This is the first time he did nothing wrong.
Yes. Magnus confides in Ahriman. Mm-hmm. Well, he actually tells his, what ends up being...
Ahriman, Amon, a bunch of...
Well, the highest level cabal. Mm-hmm. He tells them that they're going to save Horus. He's not real specific on saving Horus. He's just Horus is being corrupted. They're going to...
And they're nowhere near Horus, by the way. They're all just hanging out in Prospero.
Yeah. And this is Guam. I mean, they are so far away from them.
Right.
The part of Horus's plan was to send the Space Wolves to Prospero because it's so far away. So Magnus decides that he's going to channel his powers, pierce the warp. First off, he wants to talk to Horus, basically, which doesn't go well. But then they're going to tell the Emperor.
Not yet. So what they're going to do is they're going to channel all the powers and they're going to use this to talk to Horus. But what Magnus confides in these hikers is, I need you to protect me while I do this. Because the challenge for Horus is, the challenge for Magnus is that there are, if he goes into the warp to go talk to Horus's soul, he's now putting himself right next to all of the demon
gods. And he's also,
demon gods.
And they're still kind of in their infancy of what they're doing. So he is just pure soul walking through the warp. Yeah.
So Ahriman and them are all there, and they protect Magnus through this. But as we've discussed, Horus just doesn't really listen to Magnus and goes, I'm going to take all the power thing. They come out of it, and Magnus has to tell them all what happened, which is, hey, it didn't work because there's some other thing going on there, but he wasn't clear. So again, Ahriman has this moment of like, this man is lying to me.
He basically is gone for a while and he does all these things. And then he kind of just tells him, Horus said no and doesn't say anything else. And you're like, I feel like so many other things happen right now.
Not much. Ahriman does this weird little side thing here where, as we said, he was a precog. So he grabs other precogs and grabs basically a super precog and they shove a bunch of power through this precog. And Ahriman learns that he gets a vision of the future. Of the Space Wolves coming to kill a Thousand Suns. He knows this is coming.
He sees the future of Prospero burning. Mm-hmm. By the way, good pictures.
Goes to Magnus with it. Magnus says, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. The next thing that comes up again is now Magnus failed to convince Horus to stay loyal and decides he needs to tell his dad. And his dad isn't picking up the phone.
So he uses combined cabal power to pierce through the psychic defenses of the Emperor, who was trying to create his own webway. And by the way, he was never going to succeed. We already had Vulcan talk about this. But effectively what happens is Magnus pierces through with the help of his brothers. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, he basically just goes, oh, my bad. Did I just let all of the demons into Terra in the basement?
And so... The Emperor is pretty furious. Around the same time, though, Ahriman uses this moment to learn. Because he's
piggybacks off this.
Well, because he's tied into Magnus's brain while he's piercing the warp. So first, Ahriman learns about the existence of demons. But he also starts peering into the truth of the warp and starts getting, it's not clean how much information he really gets.
Well, he sees Magnus. The future, the past, and everything else. He just sees like he does Dr. Manhattan style. He sees all time at the same time. And then he learns about the existence of demons. He also learns that Magnus was full of shit.
Yeah.
And has been making deals this whole time. Also making shitty deals. Ahriman realizes this right away that, and we're going to talk about Magnus's things that he does, because he's trying to weasel his way out of contracts by effectively getting himself killed.
Yeah.
Which is the dumbest shit ever. But Ahriman sees all of this at the same time. Does he understand everything? No, because you just got hit by all of the knowledge of creation real quick. And you're like, how'd that go?
In a matter of an instant.
Yeah.
One thing he does see, which is foreshadowing a bit, is Magnus shielding them from seeing outside of Prospero. He doesn't really understand what's going on, but understands that for some reason, their abilities as precogs is limited to just Prospero. The reason that this is going on is, as Brad alluded to a second ago, Magnus knows that Leman's coming. As we discussed before, the Emperor gets obviously kind of pissed at Magnus, doesn't believe that Horus has turned on him, and sends Leman Russ to go have an unpleasant chat with Magnus.
Well, Horus also intercepts this and turns it from chat to destroy the Thousand Sons homeworld and all of them.
Just kill everyone, and Leman's kind of on team. Yeah, that's a better interpretation.
And Leman should have known better, but he's already so pissy with them that he's like, this sounds like a great
That's a idea. Much better interpretation.
Yeah, like I kind of was hoping that was going to be the interpretation. So I'm on my way. Magnus knows this is happening. Magnus is going full emo right now.
Yeah.
He's sad. He feels that he's been manipulated because he has been, even though he was trying to be the manipulator. He's sad that his dad was mean to him. He's sad that he's been literally puppeted his whole life.
Yep.
And he's has an agreement, basically, that the entire Legion is going to come to Tzeentch, follow, and everything else. And he's like, well, best way to get out of this, I'll just let everybody kill me.
Yep.
Eeyore.
It was his plan was to allow the Space Wolves to kill all the Thousand Sons. And in doing so, including himself, Tzeentch wouldn't get his deal. What a stupid idea. So
also, Ahriman, not really down with that.
Yeah, scene. No one knows this. So the assault begins. And so the Space Wolves, because of Magnus, arrive in orbit. And no one, the Thousand Sons don't even see them. The Thousand Sons aren't even aware they're there until the bombardment begins. The Thousand Sons, of course, grab guns. They say, all right, let's go defend ourselves. And Magnus is telling them, no, don't fight back.
Yeah, like just lame
go, go hang out and go hang out in the city. It's okay. Don't fight back. And Ahriman just says, screw you. And Ahriman leads the Legion out to go and fight the Space Wolves. One of my more enjoyable parts of this is that as Ahriman leads his Legion out, he senses Wormdrake is actually on one of the ships and just says, well, this is time, and does something I find super cool. Him and Wormdrake have a battle of the minds, which whatever.
He wrecks him like bad.
He wrecks him bad. Wormdrake has no play here. He gets in the Wormdrake's mind and he gives Wormdrake all the knowledge. He shows him how.
Well, he sees the future.
Yeah.
He says that he shows him how the Imperium's going to collapse.
Yeah. Horus is going to do this. All these things to make Wormdrake see why he should be on the side of Ahriman. And as soon as Wormdrake gets all information, he then takes Wormdrake's soul and gives it to Chaos and lets them feast on his soul for eternity because he wanted it to hurt that much more.
Yeah.
It's badass, like, actually.
Ahriman,
I'll be honest, that was super badass.
Ahriman got his on that.
Yeah, yeah, it was super badass. Around this time, Magnus just can't watch his Legion suffer anymore and goes out to fight Leman, which we've discovered that wasn't going to go well. But before he goes out there, he pulls Ahriman aside and gives him the Book of Magnus, which is the ultimate tome of knowledge. This is, I'm foreshadowing, I'm going to be honest with you, one episode ahead here is why this matters. But notice Ahriman has the book. That's important.
Yeah, kind of
important. Magnus gets wrecked.
I mean, he did break his back over his knee.
Over his knee by Leman. And
then he's, screw you, man. This is why I like Ahriman so much more than I like Magnus. No, I'm going to rant. I don't care. Because in the end, Magnus, by the way, is wildly popular now, or wildly powerful and popular.
Right.
But he just out of nowhere just is like, okay with dying. I'm just going to do this. And Tzeentch is like, come on.
Yeah.
That's his whole sales pitch.
So you don't have to do this. And Magnus goes, you're right. And immediately in a blink, all of the Thousand Sons,
the whole world,
the entire world disappears into the warp and
it becomes the planet of the sorcerers. He just basically pulls it off and they're all, Magnus becomes a demon prince. The Thousand Sons are now completely tied, period, irrevocably from 2 Zinch. Mm-hmm. And he solved nothing but getting his head kicked in and letting a lot of people die.
Yeah. Nothing has changed. The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yep.
So here they are. And from there, we're going to stop because the next chunk is going to be Ahriman's, he hasn't even fallen, his rise. Like I said, we can do him in two. Abaddon took three. We can do him in two. So on our next cast, we're going to go through and we're going to cover the rise of Ahriman. I call it the individual under the powers of chaos. But as just a recap, so if you're following along the whole episode, Ahriman really was not a bad person at this point. He is a very,
he's conflicted.
Yeah, he's conflicted, but
he's conflicted. He does have a lot of hate in his heart. He's actually, we'll do it Star Wars style. He has a lot of fear in his heart.
That's what I would say too. He was trying to do good. He's betrayed by everyone he trusted. And he's now sitting in the Immaterium with his entire legion because his Primarch betrayed him. Now with his soul being given to a chaos god. So he's pretty pissed off. And next week we'll kind of conclude this story and take us up to right about 10th edition. But with that, as always, please go to leave us a positive review on Spotify, just positive. Join the Discord page. This interaction in Discord really is fantastic. We now have a meme page. People are showing off their artwork. We're discussing past and potentially future episodes. It's become a really great repository and something that gives Brad and I a lot of joy during the day as our phones ding and we get, ooh, notification on Discord.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah. So with that, I'm John Barsai. It's Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys next week.